Happy Friday.
There have been a couple times this season where you've had to clarify or amend previous comments. Are you comfortable with your messaging approach? Are you concerned at all with how that might come across?
No, I'm not concerned. My main concern is the guys in the locker room on a day-after-day basis, the people that know me. And, you know, again, you know, it's all about this game here.
High Noon, Jones and Keefe, Patriots Friday. We'll have Patriots guests later on this hour. Jerod Mayo's defensive coordinator, DeMarcus Covington, and Dietrich Wise, as we discuss Patriots and Bills on Sunday. Could be ugly up in Buffalo. He's not concerned about the mixed messaging. Not concerned about that. That's probably part of your problem there, Jerod. You're not concerned about it? That should be an issue.
No, he's not. But then he spins it as like just the guys that are in the locker room. And so I would still question, like, all right, well, how do they feel about it? Like, I can't imagine they loved the, you know, their soft comment, but then they did come out and actually, you know, win the next week. So maybe it was blown out of proportion. Alex Van Pelt was saying all the right things when he spoke most recently. He's very professional when he does that, but he, you know, talking about his relationship with Jerod is very good. But on like a personal level, there's no way he was thrilled with him getting blamed for how the game played out. So I don't know. I mean, I think these guys are definitely kind of playing out the string at this point. I don't know if they're necessarily playing hard for Jerod Mayo, if it's just more personal pride to finish strong and put yourself in a position to be on a team next year, whether it's the Patriots or somewhere else.
Well, and I think they were playing hard. You could say they were prior to last game. Coming out of the bye week, they feel like they came back not...
How many more of these?
Not as invested. And I don't know, like, you are a professional, but you're also a human being. It's Buffalo. It's on the road. It's a meaningless game in terms of the standings. Like, some guys might be playing for their futures and incentives and bonuses in their contract, but it's a meaningless game when it comes to your place in the league this season. You're two touchdown underdogs. Your coach may or may not be back. What's the real reason to invest? So you are a professional, but you're also a human. And at the end of the day, I can see a lot of players going, two games left of this after this week.
Not a lot of Don Beebe's, you don't think?
Not a lot of Don Beebe's running down Leon Lett at the end of a blowout, Keith. That's a good way of putting it.
Maybe not.
So Diana Rossini last week said Robert Kraft is telling people that Jerod Mayo's going to be back. He deserves a second chance. We knew it was going to be a disaster, blah, 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 blah. And in fairness to her, she wasn't the only one. Josina Anderson had a similar report on Saturday or Sunday of last weekend. Well, Diana Rossini is walking that back today.
Oh, yeah?
She is.
All it took was one loss.
She said,
well, Cardinals.
Should we play it? I forgot we had the audio. Let's hear what Diana Rossini said.
I believe that Jerod Mayo needs to put out a really good coaching performance to wrap up the season.
Do they not need to get blown out? Do they need to play him close? Like,
I don't think they're looking at this like the season doesn't matter. I think they want to see that he can do it. But a lot of owners are hesitant to making moves unless they feel like they've got a better option. So you have to wonder if Kraft thinks that there's someone out there that could maybe possibly come in that could be better.
Okay. All right, so what does a good Jerod Mayo coaching performance look like?
Against Buffalo?
Yeah, on Sunday. Well, what does it look like in general? Have we seen any? Chicago.
I think Chicago.
They pants Chicago.
That legitimately looked like a good coaching performance. Okay. I would give them credit for that. They won on defense. Yeah. They had the Longhorn package, which he came in the next day and credited them for.
Yep.
Caleb Williams looked confused.
They fired their offensive coordinator right after that.
Bingo. So that's one. Is Cincinnati one?
Probably.
I also say probably. They probably started the wrong quarterback in that game.
They did, but for who was on the field, that was probably, which was funny because he was like, we can't win a lot of games this way. It's like, well, the only way you really did.
Right.
Like maybe should have leaned on that a little bit more. But yeah, no, that was one where you looked at it and you're like, hey, this team tackles. This team makes the plays that are there. They don't turn over.
Games.
Yeah, yeah. So that was, so 2 out of 14. And you're playing.
Mayo coached so well after week one. Jones had him like 10-1.
That's true.
Jones was high
on the squad.
I had him ripping off wins. Yeah.
And now they are facing the best opponent they've faced all year on the road.
And two touchdown favorites.
Yep. And he needs to have a good performance. So to me, it's more, you know, how many real questionable decisions are there? And part of it is, if it ends up being a blowout and you're just losing to a more talented team and the MVP of the league, all right, like, how many things are we really questioning on Monday? And then also, if he goes and has, like, a whatever press conference, like a rare, like, doesn't stick his foot in his mouth press conference.
That's a great one.
All right, they got smoked, but he doesn't have to say anything on Monday to correct what he said on Sunday.
He didn't fan the flames.
He didn't do that. And they lost, but they just lost because they're the worst team. They didn't lose because he's doing like a zero blitz on Allen, or like they didn't do it. Like, they just lost to the better team. Then I wouldn't call that a good coaching day. It's just not a bad one.
Okay, so Diana Russini, let's open it up to the phone. 617-779-7937. Diana Russini says, I think Jerod Mayo has to put out a really good coaching performance to wrap up the season. And that's not just the Buffalo game, but let's start with the Buffalo game. Yeah. What is that on Sunday? I think he's right. They got to cover, I think. You know, if they lose.
The last text in says if you cover, then you're fine.
Well, I disagree with that. If you cover, you're safe. No. You need to do more than just that. I think you got to keep it within two scores. I think it can't be a penalty fest where they're taking a million undisciplined penalties where it looks like you haven't coached all week.
Yeah, right.
And you need to do what you said, Keith. You need to keep it buttoned up after the game. You need to not fan the flames after the game. No throwing coaches under the bus.
Yeah.
No saying questionable things. No, you said it, I didn't. Nothing you have to walk back with Greg or whoever's in on Monday morning, Wiggy and the woman again.
Yep.
No having to walk it back in that interview. I would say those three things. You got to keep it within two scores. You got to look somewhat buttoned up on the field. I said this last week against Arizona. Don't turn it over a ton. Don't look undisciplined. Not a million penalties. And Mayo needs to not screw up. That should be so easy for most coaches. I mean, so easy. And I don't know that I trust him to check any of those boxes.
So the turnover one, I kind of don't put on Mayo. Just like, you know, if it's like a Kayshon Booty handed to the other team,
yeah,
not
fair.
Only is it not on Mayo,
but
like,
you know
it's
what
not
I mean.
On Mayo. I know, Like, just how you look. You how dysfunctional are you?
You can't lose it. In a sloppy way.
Yeah.
So, like, maybe individual turnovers I'd look at and go, that's not Mayo's fault. This one is Mayo. Are you disciplined? Are you playing sloppy? If they're playing sloppy, that's a reflection of him.
So sloppy, I'm with you. Like if it's, you know, 12 men in the huddle, if it's delay a game, if it's jumping off sides nonstop, if it's just a lack of discipline, then I'm with you. If they have far and away more penalties, because that's what one, you know, if you're trying to pull off an upset or even just cover a big spread and you have way more penalty yards than the other team, like no chance. Like now you're not giving yourself any chance. So I would look at that. I also, when the game is close, because, Jones, you know what? It's going to start out 0-0.
It is going to start close.
Like in those early possessions, is there anything that we're thinking, you know, what are you doing? And one to me might be the Bills have scored 90 points the last 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And Mayo last week went for it on a couple of fourth downs. But for one example, let's say the Patriots start with the ball. They actually pick up a couple first downs. They have the ball around, you know, the 40-yard line or so, or the 50, and it's fourth and one. If you punt and you're like, hey, like we don't want to get the ball here, like field position.
Stop Josh Allen.
You're not going to stop Josh Allen.
Right.
He could be on his own one. He could be on your one. He could be on the 50. Now, if it's fourth and 15, like, all right, I'm not a lunatic either. Like, you are going to have to punt at times. But that's an example where, because we used to always make fun of teams that would come into New England and have like a decent drive and then punt. And you're like, you're not going to beat Brady with punts and field goals.
I mean, even I was just going to say, even settling for a field goal, it's like, hey, it's fourth and two. Maybe go for that one.
So that'll be one that we'll call him out on, and we'll see. Because I can't imagine this is a game where it comes down to, should they go for two in the win or force overtime? I can't imagine it's going to be that close. But early in the game, a couple of possessions in, how are you? Are you still playing scared against a team that scores every time they have the ball?
Is there an embarrassing point total? Like, to me,
50.
That's the number.
Yeah.
And I don't think that's out of the realm of possibility.
Of course it's not.
If they drop 50, that's embarrassing.
That is embarrassing because they just scored 48 against Detroit in Detroit.
Right.
And they're like a Super Bowl favorite / contender.
And they scored 42 the week prior and 35 before that.
They scored 47. So they beat Jacksonville back on week 3, 47-10.
Yep.
That's like a lopsided blowout.
I went against Josh Allen in fantasy that week.
He had a good game that week.
Yeah.
He actually has had a good game pretty much every week.
So that to me, like they're scoring 30. Get that out of your head. You're not holding them below 30. I feel pretty good about them getting into the 40s. And even that wouldn't be singularly offensive. Like
but
Detroit just gave up 40.
Too,
the Rams just gave up 40. You, right.
Like 47-10 is a gross
Bingo.
NFL
Bingo.
Score. You need to put some points on the board.
Even like 35-3. Like you can't right. So you can't get blown out by five scores, but if it's 42-30, I'd go, okay, like there might be something there. If the Bills get to 50 points,
No. That's one that
feels like the number, and I don't think that's out of play. I'd also say Josh Allen the last couple of weeks.
Yeah.
Has really gone nuclear.
Yes.
He had 6 touchdowns combined. Ran for 3, threw for 3 against the Rams. He had 4 touchdowns combined against Detroit. Can you keep Allen by himself to like 3? Can you do that?
That'd be a win.
Yeah.
The way it's gone. Oh, somebody pointed out to
us. Can you keep Allen to like 2 passing touchdowns and a rushing touchdown? Like, can you not let him get five touchdowns and, like, cement his MVP on your head? Can you do that?
And if you look at the Buffalo breakdown, they have the second highest scoring offense in the league. But they're 12th as far as points allowed. And I know some of that has been the last 2 weeks where they've been in those shootouts. But still, it's not a world-beating defense. So, like, when we're saying, hey, can Drake May score points to keep it respectable? Like, can Drake May, like, getting to 20 points for the Patriots, which certainly hasn't been easy each and every week, but I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility. Like, I don't think you look at the Bills and you're like, man, they got all these guys that are going to, you know, they don't have Bruce Smith on this defense. So maybe you can score some points. You can move the ball. They've given up a ton of yards, actually, this year, Bills defense has.
So the Patriots should score in the 20s, right?
Yeah.
They should.
Yeah. Because, well, part of it, in my thinking, is the Bills probably won't need a lot of time to score, so they're going to move down the field, and then the Patriots will have a lot of opportunity.
Yeah, and the Bill, it might be some of what we saw last week against the Cardinals, where the Bills are just up big late, and they're like, whatever.
Yeah.
God, we'll give you throws over
the middle
of the field.
Maybe Drake May runs one in.
Yeah, maybe. So, I don't know. I wonder if they don't get the 20, or if it really is like a 35-3 type of game.
Yeah, that's tough.
Mayo's going to survive the year. I don't think they'd fire Mayo in season, right?
I don't think they're ever. No. They're not going to fire him in season.
What about Van Pelt?
No. It's too late. Are you going to fire him for one game?
Okay,
or
well,
for two games?
Well, I don't know. His coach threw him under the bus, and the owners are complaining about him on national TV. So would it be a good idea? No.
So
if they really did nothing against Buffalo, in a game where we're both saying you need to get into a shootout, you need to be able to score, they should score in the 20s. That doesn't mean you win the game, but you should score in the 20s. I mean, could I see them firing Van Pelt before the year's out? Yeah.
So here's my read on it. If they're going to,
and again, I wouldn't agree with that, but I could see it.
If they fire Van Pelt in season, then I think Jerod Mayo needs to be really, really worried. If they don't,
that's
I feel like
point.
They save it for the offseason.
That's a good point.
And then they show the fans, see, Van Pelt's at fault. He's gone.
Yeah.
Mayo
stays. If you lose your.
You can't do it now.
Your human shield.
Right. Because then you're like, what's your offseason move? He's like, well, we fired Van Pelt. It's like, yeah, week 14 or 15. Like,
right.
What are you talking about? I think you need to save it. And then, yeah, you don't want to use your scapegoat too early, do you?
No. Yeah. No, that's like what the Bruins did with Monty this year. They're like, crap, yeah. We already played that trump
now
card.
Now what do we do? And now it's back to the coaching interviews again. So, but you could, if they're that impatient, then like a complete overhaul would be in play. Because that wouldn't be enough for the fan base. But we got rid of the coordinators in season. It's like, okay, you won three games.
Yeah, and then
you're keeping
out,
the head coach.
Lost the next 2 weeks, and they looked even worse.
Yeah.
Text line, 617-779-7937. I think May is going to go off. He wants to prove he's better than Josh Allen. Look, we're big Drake May supporters on this show. He's not.
We got to draw the line somewhere.
I think he could. He's not better than Josh Allen, definitively. I think there's a chance he needs to score in the 20s. They need to score in the 20s. He could have his best game this weekend. I don't rule that out.
The over-under for the game
And they
is,
still lose by two or three touchdowns, but he could have his best game this weekend.
So the over-under for the game, and somebody was saying should we hammer the over, I would say yes. It's 46.5.
Yeah, that's
outside chance the Bills get it.
That's not super.
Just for the Bills?
No.
Right, we just said the Bills could get it on there. It could be 50-0 and the Bills could get it.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I think the over is for sure in play.
There's no, last I checked, there's no weather. It's cold.
Cold.
But there's no precipitation or anything.
15, 16 degrees.
Yeah, chilly.
That's cold.
Yeah, so that honestly, that's my bigger fear for Drake May in this game. How does he play
how
in the cold?
How cold he is?
Well, just how does he
Maybe
play in
it? Maybe his fingies might be a little
he
cold.
He has tiny hands, Keith.
Yeah. Do you do the hand warmer? Some say the hand warmer makes it worse.
Yeah, he's got to throw sleeves on, he said, going into this game.
Sleeves
so
and
that,
like a little pouch.
That's more my concern. Less about the Bills. The Bills defense doesn't scare me. I don't think it's a scary defense. You just said where they are in terms of scoring against in the league, and it is skewed the last couple of weeks. But how does he play outdoors is one of the things I'd consider going in. But I'd expect him to put up numbers in this game. He should.
What's your guess for Drake May on the sidelines? I think it's interesting to watch some of these quarterbacks. Brady would wear, like, scuba gear, and it actually worked for him. But then you'd see some quarterbacks sometimes, they come in, they have the giant jacket on, and they're sitting on the bench, like, sad, scared, too cold. They have, like, a winter hat on, and they have, like,
That's a good point.
And I'm sure there are examples of guys doing that and playing
I don't want
well.
That image.
No, isn't that bad?
Where just, like, Tom Brady also do that? There's a famous picture of him with, like, the jacket that people were editing.
Oh, that was
bigger.
So big that they kept making it bigger and bigger and bigger. Yeah, I guess that's true. And so my point, I'm sure there are examples of guys doing well.
He hasn't even played in long sleeves yet. He made a point of saying that this week. I guess I have to fact check him, but like he's like, I might have to wear long sleeves for the first time against
Buffalo.
Or
you say, screw it. I'm the big hoss of the week on the Jones and Keefe show. I'm not going to wear sleeves.
Yeah.
I'll wear the jacket on the sidelines. I don't want to get frostbite, but I'll go out there no sleeves, just like an animal.
He was the second winner of the Hoss of the Week.
Yeah, Garrett Crochet won the inaugural Hoss of the Week.
Garrett Crochet, much like, was it Al who was going into our Ring of Fame first for the Joe Mazzulla game?
Yep.
The first Hoss of the Week was Garrett Crochet.
Drake May, big guy.
He's probably going to win it more than once.
Drake May?
Yeah.
Okay, we'll see what he does. If they let him run.
I would imagine he will. But yeah, are there any scary visuals about Drake May, or does he just play poorly in the cold? I would say that's a subplot to this game.
Yeah.
But how do they save Jerod Mayo's job? Diana Rossini again, and I want to get the wording right here. Diana Rossini says that Jerod Mayo needs a really good coaching performance to wrap up the year. So that starts with this game in Buffalo this
All right.
weekend. What does that look like? Can he do it? I said you got to keep it within two scores. You can't be sloppy in terms of penalties and turnovers and things like that. And as Keith said, don't screw it up at the podium after the game and have to walk it back on Monday on WEEI.
Yeah, I think it's a pretty low bar, honestly. I think it's, yeah.
Out of those three, what's the one you feel best that he would check?
I think he's
covering?
No. I think he's has a better chance. He's due to, like, not stick his foot in his mouth
he
in the press conference.
He can't help himself. No.
Yeah, but what's more likely, I think, that than
has he
keeping
ever done
it
that?
Close with the Bills.
Has he ever had a week where he hasn't walked something back? Like, in all seriousness, they have covered. They've won games. Has he ever had a week where he hasn't had to walk something back?
No.
I'm not sure he has.
But they haven't played a team this good, though. I don't think they're going to cover. Although 14 is a huge number.
It's a big number.
In the NFL.
Derek is in New Bedford. Go ahead, Derek.
Hey, how's it going, guys? I just want to let you know, I think the Bills are going to put up 70 points this week,
Derek.
On you guys, okay?
So you're taking the over.
And
Derek,
you're saying our defense is not good? We have a great defense in Buffalo. We cost turnovers. It doesn't matter how many points you put up.
Oh,
we consistently cost turnovers.
Okay, so I didn't, Derek,
so we're going to put up 70.
Derek, you're a Bills fan?
I got to say one last thing.
Oh, yeah.
Go Bills, baby.
Okay, can I ask
I'm
you?
I'm a Bills fan.
No, okay, can I ask
yes,
you?
Sir.
So we said earlier they are not going to win the Super Bowl this year. Will the Bills win the Super Bowl?
Will the Bills win the Super Bowl? I honestly feel like this is our year. I mean, like you said, Josh Allen is playing out of his mind.
Yeah, so he had to repeat the question back to me. That sounds like a not very confident Bills fan. He knew he was put on the spot.
No, yeah. No,
will they win the Super Bowl this year?
The Super Bowl?
Honestly?
Which one?
I think he followed it with it. Honestly.
Just confirming the question.
Yep.
Yeah. So.
Yeah,
buying time.
Ton of confidence.
Not, how?
Hell yeah.
In fairness?
How could you?
That tells me that is a real Bills fan, because how could you be confident in your team?
Like if you ask a Bills or a Lions fan this year, like, you guys win the Super Bowl? Like,
yeah. This one?
I don't want to jinx it.
You mean in my lifetime?
They're good.
Which we should have some sympathy for as Red Sox fans. Deep down in our black hearts, we should have some sympathy for
no,
that.
No, I honestly do. Like, I know the Bills are a division opponent and everything, but they just haven't won anything. And same with the Lions. At least the Bills have been more consistently in the playoffs recently. Like, if either one of those teams win, like, I don't know. I'm not going to be upset about it.
Yeah. All right. Well, the Bills fans are fired up that we said their defense isn't very good. They did give up 44 and 42 the last 2 weeks, but those are real offenses.
Yeah, but still, that's a ton of points in the NFL.
No, I'm just saying, this team is not a real offense.
They're 12th in points allowed and 23rd in yards allowed.
Yeah, I didn't think it was that offensive. I feel like we said, to my point about them not winning the Super Bowl, I feel like we said more offensive things to a Bills fan.
True.
617-779-7937. So again, three things for Mayo to save his job. Keep it close. One. Don't look sloppy on the field, too. Mm. And don't walk anything back. Don't stick your foot in your mouth.
Bring in the holidays with Have a Mayo Mayo Christmas.
Have a holly jolly Christmas.
One thing I learned from coaches and from Thunder.
I don't know if there'll be snow, but have a cup of...
36 Christmas wishes from your favorite Patriots head coach come together on two CDs to celebrate this joyous time of year.
Last Christmas, I gave you my heart.
That's you said it, I didn't.
You gave it away this year to save me from tears. I give it to someone.
Thunder.
With your paid order of Have a Mayo Mayo Christmas, you receive a free baseball bat to carry around to meetings.
Chestnuts roasting on an open fire.
And cash. Yeah. Ready to burn some cash.
Frost nipping at your nose.
A perfect gift for giving. To order Have a Mayo Mayo Christmas, call 1-800-GROSS-HC.
Look, once those guys cross the white lines, there's nothing I can do for them.
Right, that we're going to win more than four games?
Yeah.
I'm on record.
You're on record?
Absolutely.
All right, good. All right.
That's 1-800-GROSS-HC.
So that's available now for stocking stuffers.
Just in time.
GROSS-HC. It's an aggressive phone number.
Yeah, that's tough. Tough luck.
Guaranteeing more than four wins. He's had that thrown back in his face a lot.
Still time? He doesn't even have to win out, and he can get more than four.
Yeah, just 2 out of 3.
2 out of 3, though. You do play the Bills twice.
It's a tough look when you go, yeah, put me on record, we're going to win more than last year, and then you don't even get to that number.
Tough.
That's a tough look. You'd think that's the way it's headed right now. You'd want to at least get to that number.
Not happening.
When you put out a guarantee.
Not happening.
One would think. But excellent work by Nick and Billy on Have a Mayo Mayo Christmas. You got a free baseball bat in there.
Not bad. Swing that around a little bit.
Double CD, as we said, which certainly a lot of people could put to use. So I think that's going to be hot on Spotify and all your Christmas parties this year.
Yep.
Good point by the text line, 617-779-7937. Guys, you made a Christmas hits album at Mayo's press conferences and walkbacks. I'm not confident he can fix that.
It's pretty much dug in at this point.
When there's enough to put on a 36-song double album, I don't think you're walking it back and fixing
it. Cutting room floor.
That's true.
That's right.
Yeah. Definitely, you could bring back like volume 2 next year.
Yeah, no, it's not a good sign.
No. I wouldn't think so. Let's see. Greg is in Manchester. Hello, Greg.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going great.
Hey, so I know we talk about the game a lot. I'm just wondering. So the Buffalo Bills, they're from Buffalo, and their emblem is a buffalo. But isn't it supposed to be they're from Buffalo, and then they're. And they're the Bills. What is a Buffalo Bill? Like, I don't understand what that is. It's very confusing.
Well, Silence of the Lambs could clear that up.
I mean, great question.
It is a good question.
Sounds like a key.
Yeah.
It kind of does.
Is it a key?
It is teetering on a key. So to answer his question.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, start up a new one. According to Google AI, a bill is a proposal to create a new law or change an existing one. Bills can be used for all types of legislation, including public, private, general, and special laws.
Nice.
Here's some details about bills.
Oh, good.
Origin. Ideas for bills can come from a member of Congress or be proposed during an election campaign.
Yeah.
Numbering. Bills are assigned a number in the order they are introduced, starting at the beginning of each Congress. Types. Bills can be public, which affect the general public, or private, which affect individuals or organizations.
Nice.
Process. Bills are debated and amended in both the House of Representatives and the Senate. Once both houses agree, the bill is presented to the president for action. Veto.
Yeah, good.
The president has 12 days to sign, approve without signing, or veto a bill.
12.
If the president vetoes the bill, both houses must pass it with a 2/3 vote to override the veto. So that, my friend, is what a bill is.
Wow. That was an early key.
I actually was up late last night thinking about this, how Buffalo is the logo, but it's the name of the city. It's wild. It is.
What do you mean it's the logo?
Like on the side of their helmet, it's a buffalo.
Oh, yeah. I see what you're saying.
They're from Buffalo.
Yeah, yeah.
So what's Bill? Just like a bunch of guys named William?
Yeah.
Nicknames for William?
Yeah.
Like
it's a shout out to Buffalo Bill.
That would be
not again of Silence of the Lambs.
That would be like taking like New England.
Who was Buffalo Bill? Yeah, right. And making
James Gum. That one James Gum?
I don't know.
That was Buffalo Bill. James Gum.
Is that his actual name?
In the film.
Got it. Didn't realize that.
You're looking for James Gum? It's weird. Buffalo. No other city is like that.
I'm talking of William Cody. William Frederick Cody, known as Buffalo Bill, an American soldier, bison hunter, and a showman.
Oh, that guy.
That's what I'm talking about.
I thought you were talking about
the real guy.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Buffalo Bills.
Was this a shout out to him?
Do you know what the college name is?
What?
The college.
Oh, yeah. They are the Buffalo. Are they the Bison?
They're the Buffalo Bulls.
Bulls. Thank you. Yes.
Buffalo Bulls.
Yeah.
Which makes like a little bit more sense.
Yeah.
The Buffalo Bills is weird when I'm with this guy. The old, like the mascot, especially the old mascot. Remember their old helmet? It just looked like a boring-ass buffalo.
Yep.
It looked like Oregon Trail buffalo.
Yep.
Then they kind of souped it up in the 90s, put like little horns on it, and they can't like it's kind of charging at you.
And it didn't look very fast.
And they're like, and now! Now it's completely...
Khalil Mack!
Yeah. One of the great Buffalo Bulls.
That's not a key, actually. Yeah. Who's a Buffalo? Who else is a Buffalo Bull?
That's pretty much it.
Khalil Mack,
They did not have many guys.
They must have more than that.
I think Lamar Sperling is there now. I only know that because my buddy plays as Buffalo in a college football game. Because he's from Buffalo?
I think they had a running back that came
That's
out
a real...
They,
oh!
Yeah, yeah, Lamar Sperling might be there now. He's running all over us. He had a good campaign.
I'm efforting.
But no, that is... Like, that's one of the best questions we've ever been asked on the show.
It really was.
Buffalo Bill, the like, Buffalo.
Talk about, like, being ready to go.
No other city...
Oh, my God, did you shortchange Buffalo for all the players they put in the NFL?
Who else?
KJ Osborne?
No way. Oh, he transferred, though.
Okay.
He went to, like... They drafted him out of the U, though.
Jarrett Patterson?
The quarterback?
The running back.
No. I don't know him. Khalil Mack was a beast. I remember him at Buffalo. They didn't even put Buffalo games on TV because of him.
Malcolm Kuntz?
What?
Charlie Jones?
Stop.
Currently in the NFL right now?
He's playing now?
Well, I don't know how much he's playing. Malcolm Kuntz is on the Raiders.
It's just a big Buffalo.
Charlie Jones is on the Bengals.
Yeah.
The Buffalo Bills drafted Drew Haddad. He was out of Buffalo. There you go.
So he went from the Bulls to the Bills? He'd stay right there and...
Seventh
round Orchard pick. Park.
A lot of, I'd say, undrafted guys.
Never had to move out of Lancaster.
One of the higher picked Buffalo Bulls of all time. Well, Khalil Mack.
Yeah.
Ed Ellis, drafted by the New England Patriots in 1997. Fourth round pick.
I like that.
It's a Pete Carroll special right there is what that was. Bobby Greer.
I remember wanting Tyree Jackson because he was like 7 feet tall and threw the ball a country mile.
Tyree Jackson. Forgot about that guy.
Yeah, that's nice.
So we'll get to your phone calls coming up.
He was Hoss of the Week.
He would be. We go back and check the archives. That's the Hoss of the Week.
Yeah.
So reliving stuff here on Jones and Keefe. We'll get to the keys at 1 o'clock. It's Patriots Friday.
We should relive this one, Jones. Let's
do a few more year in review.
We should play this one, especially on a Friday where we had our Bozo touchdown parlay earlier today. If you missed it, you can check out Jones and Keefe on both Twitter and Instagram for our five-legger this weekend. But people are like, why do you guys still do this? Why do you guys still do this? Well, I'll tell you why we do this.
This is why.
This is exactly why.
You want to do the Bozo touchdown parlay?
Let's do a Bozo touchdown parlay. Let me start. I'm going to go with a Lamar Jackson anytime touchdown.
Now Jackson will kick it left side again. Racing to the end zone. He is in. Touchdown, Baltimore.
You have to wait for Monday night for mine. One of those doubleheaders. I have Zach Moss.
And they're going to hand. Moss will walk it in for the touchdown.
But I want a Amon Ross St. Brown touchdown.
Goff is looking, throwing, catch made into the end zone, and that's a Lions touchdown to Amon Ross St. Brown.
Give me an Adam Thielen anytime.
Wow. I mean, that's hands down the boldest.
Dalton taking a shot to the end zone. It is caught. Adam Thielen.
And then Terps going Chris Godwin.
And they go the other way to the corner. There is touchdown Godwin.
$10 gets you $1,018.98.
Can you believe it?
Yes, sir.
If you use the boost on it, there are a lot of people who texted in. They made more. So you know what's so funny about that?
Adam Thielen.
I remember we hit on it. Until I heard the names, I didn't remember any of them but my own. I remembered I had Zach Moss at the end on Monday Night Football. Either. But then when Adam Thielen like died on that touchdown catch.
Yeah,
that
was it. IR with a hamstring.
Yeah, like if he didn't catch that and just got hurt and like he was out for a month, it never would have hit.
No, the craziest part of that whole thing really was that four of them hit, including Thielen, and then it came down to Monday Night Football. And not only that, but Jones had Zach Moss, and it came down to like the very end of
the game.
It was
like the final minute of the game.
Left.
It was that crazy
Jaden Daniels Joe Burrow game on Monday Night Football.
But wasn't it like it didn't even matter?
No,
like you just made it a little bit closer.
Well, it mattered a lot for us, but
we were going nuts.
For the game, it did not matter.
We spent all day talking about whether you cash out or not, and then for those that didn't, you had to wait to the very bitter end of the Monday Night game, and then it won.
And in fact, he probably should have like slid and just run out clock.
Probably.
And that would have been a bad way to lose the Bozo.
And then we were like, this is easy.
Yeah.
We're going to hit this.
Yeah,
all
we started taking some risks after that. Not exactly.
Well,
our,
no risk it, no biscuit.
That's true. Do we have time for one more?
Yeah.
I know we have a Patriots guest scheduled.
Well, this is another one that I think is pretty good because we now have within Grab Bag every day the random baseball player of the day.
Yes, yes, yes.
And you might be wondering,
where'd that come from?
Well, that's the origin of that.
Yeah.
You guys remember how many saves Bobby Thigpen had in 1991?
Ron Karkovice, though?
Probably.
Oh, yeah, Ron Karkovice. Yeah. He was like their second catcher.
Ron Karkovice.
Behind punch.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a good one.
Ron Karkovice.
I started thinking on the internet the other day.
Ron Karkovice.
It was a photo of Ron Karkovice, and it goes, this is Ron Karkovice, played for the White Sox.
Oh, nice.
He's 23 years old in this photo, even though he looks 45.
Because I'll be on like a text chat with buddies, we just name random athletes, and like that is one that makes you laugh out loud.
That's a good one,
Ron Karkovice. That was the origin.
Now you got a random baseball player every day on the show.
I love it.
How about that? You know, some bits are planned, some are very organic. What can you do?
Hilarious.
So there you go. We'll have the random baseball player later on today. It is Patriots Friday. Mm-hmm. DeMarcus Covington, Dietrich Wise, both scheduled to join us. Plus, we already spoiled some of the keys.
We got more.
But we have the full keys
more.
Coming
Don't
up at 1 o'clock here on Jones and Keefe. You know who loves this one, this whole Christmas album?
Your wife?
My father-in-law.
Father-in-law.
Okay. Father-in-law will rock out.
What goes hard.
Trans-Siberian Orchestra, is that
Correct.
What it says?
Yeah.
It does. It goes hard.
It's one of those ones that I like it.
Yeah.
But I feel like halfway through the song, I'm like, what's next?
Yeah, you're like,
it's overwhelming.
How long is it?
It's a lot. Oh, it's aggressive.
There's a lot of... You're
like, this part's cool as hell.
Yeah, it's only 3 minutes and 25 seconds.
It feels longer.
Feels like 10.
Yeah, it does. So I'm like, all right.
People say about this show.
Now I just think about The Office.
They're like, it's only 4 hours. It feels a lot longer. It's more of a grind of a listen than that, I would think. But yeah, it does go hard. Jones and Keefe, it's Patriots Friday, scheduled to be joined by DeMarcus Covington and Dietrich Wise on the program today. We've been talking all day about how Jerod Mayo can save his job and what it would look like to save his job. You can jump in on that as the Patriots and Bills, a discussion point. The more I read about the Patrick Sandoval contract, Keefe.
Yeah, you love it. The more you read, the more you love.
The more enraging it is.
All right.
Because you initially I thought you had a scoop. I thought it was a scoops, Keefe. I thought you were branching out from from being the most plugged in.
Yeah, right.
Most accurate Bruins reporter there is. But I thought you were about to branch out.
No, I just simply read a Jeff Passan tweet.
You read a Passan tweet. Yep. So the breakdown here for Sandoval, he's getting $18.25 million. If you're not familiar with Patrick Sandoval, he is not Pablo Sandoval.
No, that's a start.
He was like a halfway decent pitcher for the Angels the last few years, who I hear was good in the World Baseball Classic.
Yeah.
He is getting $5.5 million this year from the Red Sox to maybe do nothing.
Maybe rehab. Pitch a month or two
maybe.
Or just get better.
Yeah. And then he's going to get almost $13 million next year.
All you got to do is ice and do bands, and we'll give you $5.5 million.
Okay, so I'm reading from Roto World. I still like the blurbs they put up there.
Okay.
And I don't know who the author is on this story, but they go,
AI.
They go, he's probably made out better in terms of a new contract than any non-tendered player ever. He was non-tendered by the Angels.
See, Sox will overpay, guys. People say they don't spend money. What are we talking about?
He was projected to make between $5.5 and $6 million. So he will get that in year one, and they have to, for some reason, lock in a second year with this guy, Patrick Sandoval, because why?
Well, you wouldn't want him for 1 year because he might not even pitch the 1 year. So that's where you kind of, like, you're paying $5.5 million to maybe see him this year.
Fair
so
point.
You can get him for next year.
Fair point.
Like that's what that comes down to.
And then you lock him in at 13 the following season.
So
own team didn't want him.
I guess. So he's really pitched 2 years in the majors, like if you look at it. So he debuted in 19, but as far as, he had 27 starts in 2022, 148 innings, but he had a 2.91 ERA. Then in 2023, 144 innings, 28 starts, 4.11 ERA. Then this past year, he made 16 starts, and his ERA was over 5.
So it seems to be trending the wrong way.
It's going up a full run every year.
He does strike out about a batter an inning, and his ERA for his career is right around 4.
Yep.
But what does this signify? Like, I already see the Twitch chat. Like, I'm not that concerned about this move, okay? That is Dubs 985.
Yeah, no, it's not anything to get, like, all fired up about, but, like, they got James Paxton a couple years ago.
But it is, because they've done it before. Our buddy John in the car points out, Liam Hendricks, we brought it before, James Paxton. Like, they've done this before. And what does that usually lead to? Big spending off seasons, or they're looking for deals?
Deals.
And they're looking for deals a year from now. So that to me is the red flag. Like, if they're going to go out and spend on Corbin Burns, then I don't care so much about this move. Whatever, it's a supplemental move. If it's the same idea as Chapman, are you spending or are these your moves?
Yeah.
I'm starting to worry these are their moves, because as much as we like the Garrett Crochet trade, that wasn't spending either.
Well, no, it's also the timing of things. You know, if you did like a big splash and you had a bunch of players all at once, and Aroldis Chapman was one of them, or Patrick Sandoval was one of them, you'd be like, all right, it's all part of, like, you know, new guys coming through here. But it was Aroldis Chapman, wait a week, Garrett Crochet trade, very exciting. Wait another like 10 days, and Patrick Sandoval. So that hasn't been the best part. And the other thing, we were talking about the Peter Gammons tweet from the other day.
Oh, yeah.
Where he was saying all these different GMs are telling him how persistent.
He's very persistent.
Breslow. In the trade market.
Right.
So not even spend, and that's also not spending money. So really, like, they've added some new players, and we're excited about Garrett Crochet because he should be the ace of the staff. But
they haven't spent real money on anybody yet.
No, and that was a good observation by you yesterday. You're like, well, Gammons is talking about trades.
Yeah.
Where are the free agent signings? I thought they were signing free agents. I thought that's what they were doing.
Exactly.
Meanwhile, you have Alex Speer, his tweet earlier today.
Mm-hmm.
Sandoval, again, will make $5.5 million this year, $12.75 in 2026. Sox are still open to other rotation moves. Oh, that's good. They're open to
They should be.
But this provides potential late-season reinforcement. I would emphasize potential. And a rotation member for 2026. So it's really not about the pitcher. Maybe he works out, maybe he doesn't.
Yeah.
Is this what they're doing this offseason again? Because that's insulting.
No, because you can't go from even one of the Mariners guys, let alone a Corbin Burns, Max Fried. Because whether we liked him or not, the reports were that they were in on both Blake Snell and Max Fried. Didn't get either guy. And then they're like Patrick Sandoval, who best case scenario starts half a year. Like that's... Again, if he's a part of a bigger offseason, and maybe he will be, the problem with the Major League Baseball free agency or offseason is it just takes forever. There was already the announcement yesterday, right, that a lot of the big-name guys probably wait till after Christmas. So that's at least another week you're tagging on to this. It's brutal. And that is one thing. It's not entirely the Red Sox fault at all, but it's just the nature of the sport.
No, it's true. So you can jump in on that with all your Patriots phone calls, 617-779-7937. We also discussed the Celtics. Their loss last night to the Bulls. Missoula screaming at the officials. On top of it, it was everything we've been talking about the last couple of games going into it. Too many threes, stylistically, a frustrating game to watch. And the Celtics didn't learn to correct their shot selection over the course of the game. They got back in it. They led by halftime by taking twos, points in the paint. Next thing you know, they shot their way out of it in the second half. So we're taking your thoughts on all of it as we await some of our Patriots Friday guests, both DeMarcus Covington and Dietrich Wise here on a Patriots Friday. Chuck is in New Hampshire. Go ahead, Chuck.
Hey, boys, I wanted to call in. I've called in a few times before. I wanted to give you guys your flowers. I don't know if you guys are going to be here next week, so I just wanted to say you guys are
next week. Oh, sorry, I jumped the gun on that. Yes,
I thought he was going to say next year.
That's what I assumed, too.
Like, what have you heard?
No, because it's the holidays, okay. You know?
Yes,
I know
thank
a lot
you.
Of radio
yeah, very Chuck, kind,
yes,
Chuck.
Yes, we were a little defensive there, Chuck.
You guys have been absolutely crushing it. I was the one that texted in earlier in the week saying that Tuesdays actually might be you know, my favorite day now, even though I thought it was the worst. And very funny, you guys say how you don't take compliments well.
True.
I called in and said, yeah, I'd like to give you guys your flowers. And they were like, sure.
Nick, don't trust
thank
it either.
You guys for the entertainment. You're crushing
well,
it.
Thanks for the kind words, Chuck. Appreciate that. That was like the other day, Brian, who's running our Twitch, was like, Keith, is today your last day? And I was like, what have you heard?
Y'all going to be gone before him.
Okay,
well,
maybe.
I bet you that me and my buddy got a bet. He got y'all and I got you guys to be gone.
Well, I appreciate your buddy taking our side. That's going to be even odds. We can discuss that later, but that's going to be...
Oh, yeah. You like the show, do you, Chuck in New Hampshire?
Like, yeah, I do.
You want to give us our flowers, Chuck in New Hampshire? Sure. It's Patriots Friday here on Jones and Keith. We are joined now by Patriots defensive coordinator DeMarcus Covington. It's all part of our coordinator series here on Patriots Fridays. He's brought to you by Rate. You can visit Shant, Shantweei.com to learn more. And by McFarlane Energy, a Lennox Premier dealer. DeMarcus Covington, how are we doing this week?
Doing good. How you doing?
Good.
We're doing well. We've seen some tests for your defense this year. I'd imagine Josh Allen and the Bills are maybe the biggest test you have faced to this point. What do you expect out of their offense? What have you seen out of their offense as you get ready for this game on Sunday?
Yeah, I mean, this is very, you know, very, very good offense in all areas. You know, early downs, third down, red area, they're doing a really good job running the ball and throwing the ball. So, and then obviously it starts with the quarterback, and he's the engine to the team, really.
You know, and it seems as though they lose their true number one receiver in Steph Diggs this year, and yet Josh Allen has gotten maybe better. Like, he's not turning the ball over, and he's spreading the ball around to a variety of receivers. You guys, you know, certainly have faced some teams where they have the true number one, number two. Doesn't really seem to be the case with the Bills.
I agree. You know, he's definitely, you know, getting the ball to everyone. Yeah, and, you know, just running their offense there, him, Joe Brady, and, you know, their staff has been doing a good job of really just sharing the rock and who using the guys that they have. And so it's not just like you said, just to one guy, one target. I would say everybody's a go-to guy for them, starting with Josh Allen.
You said yesterday when you were made available to the media, you know, you weren't overly hung up on this defense traditionally being a top 10 defense. Over the long run under Bill Belichick, this year it has dropped off a little bit. You're focused on the Bills, which I understand you're week to week. But how are you not frustrated by the defense dropping off from where it's been the last few years?
Yeah, for me, it's really, you know, I focus on whoever we're playing for the opponent. I try to put a consistent, you know, try to preach consistency each week and making sure that we try to get better and improve and not make the same mistakes. That's really what I try to focus on. I don't really try to, focus on, you know, previous years, this year, that year, who's here, who's not here, who have all those different things. I try to, you know, stay in the present and also just try to get better at the areas that we need to improve on. And that's really the deal, you know, and try to get wins. You know, that's the most important deal, which we haven't been able to do. So most important stat, you know, whether it's last year or this year, the stat we need, you know, is wins.
Well, and so you have some of the, and maybe you underscore it with the wins there, but, you know, you want the defense to get better. Let's not compare it to last year's. Do you feel like the defense has gotten better from the beginning of the year to now?
Yeah, I think there's the areas that we always can improve in. And then, you know, until this season is over, we're going to continue to try to work on those areas.
How do you work on tackling? It seems like last week was a bad week for tackling. Some of it was maybe poor angles. Other of it was just straight up tackling. Like during the course of a season, I can't imagine there's a lot of tackling and hitting going on during practice. So how do you go about coaching better tackling during the season?
Yeah, there's no like live tackling going to the ground, but you do work on that with the finish. And then we also have our tackle drills. So we have our full tackle drills within the team. Then we also have our defensive tackle drills that we have point emphasis in that. And then we also have those within the individual period. So, and then when we have our team, you know, defensive team drill, we always talk about the finish. So you can work on your angles, you know, as if you're tackling. But yeah, you're not live tackling, so you don't get that into the game. But you can still work on the angles, the departure, the footwork, closing the space, those different things, and working on, you know, whether it's getting off a block to make the tackle, those different things. Everything but really just going to the ground.
Patriots defensive coordinator DeMarcus Covington joining us here on a Patriots Friday on Jones and Keefe. The Athletic came out and reported that head coach Jerod Mayo has to put together a really good coaching performance to wrap up the season, to be back a year from now. Do you guys as a coaching staff feel like you're coaching for your jobs?
Nah, I mean, for me, always look at it like this, like what God has for me, it is for me. So, you know, that's kind of how I put it.
How hands-on is Coach Mayo with the defense? We know he's talked about, hey, you know, we let Alex Van Pelt really run the offense, and he can always oversee certain things and certain decisions, but, you know, Alex Van Pelt's running the offense. Is he allowing you to run the defense, or is he pretty hands-on?
Yeah, he allows me to, you know, I'm the defense coordinator. Since day one, he's talked about allowing me to coordinate the defense, and that's what I've been doing. And so if he has a suggestion or wants us to do something, we do what the head coach wants. So that's how it is.
You said at the beginning of the interview, you need more wins. That's the most important statistic.
I think when you're a coach, you always have that. So that's the nature of the business. So there's always going to be outside noise. There's always going to be, you know, or do you have a job, don't have a job. That's the coaching business. So, again, like I said, like for me, like if like I don't know the plans that guy has for me, whatever the plans he has, that's what he has. That's kind of how I look at it. And I know that I'm going to do my best at whatever I do. So I always can know I'm good.
You guys have lost some pieces from a year ago defensively, as you illustrated. You got one back for about a month. And now Christian Barmore is going to be out for the rest of the season on the NFI list. What, if anything, can you tell us about his status?
No, we're just knowing that we're praying for him. You know, just health is the most important deal. You know, we always think about this game of football, but really the game of life is just making sure that he's healthy and you know, try to fight this thing. And I know that he's definitely going to do that.
DeMarcus Covington, Patriots defensive coordinator, joining us here every Friday, or part of our coordinator series every Friday, I should say, on a Patriots Friday on Jones and Keefe. DeMarcus, happy holidays. Merry Christmas. We'll talk to you soon. Thanks so much.
All right, see you. Thank you.
All right, thank you.
DeMarcus Covington joining us here as part of a Patriots Friday. That is news that came out of left field, that Christian Barmore
really
back on the NFI list.
Yep. Scary.
Complications. I don't know if that's the right word for it, for the blood clots that he dealt with earlier in the year. So a loss for sure. on that defense. We'll see how they fare on Sunday against the Bills. You can jump in, 617-779-7937. Still scheduled to be joined by Dietrich Wise. Still have the grab bag and Keith's Keys, the Patriots and Bills, next.